This is Audible.
Podium Audio presents Path of the Berserker 3, a Dawpocalypse Progression Fantasy. Written by Rick Scott. Performed by Wayne Mitchell. Prologue. Third Princess Lunala, 257th heir to the Imperial Yi Dynasty, straightened herself as the doors to her private office swung inwards. Her aide ushered in a woman clad in black robes with silver trim, her silver hair affixed with a small jade crown, signifying her rank as the 7th Warden. The Warden smiled, but her chrome eyes remained cold and emotionless, the same as the depths of her very soul. Lunala knew this well of the woman. She had handpicked her to lead the cultural appropriation of the planet for this very reason. It was a job that required both skill and discernment, but above all, a complete lack of empathy. The Lady Silvertear possessed all three qualities in spades. The Warden took a small step forward before kneeling to place her forehead to the marbled floor in a kowtow.
This one is honored to present herself before you, O honored and wise princess.
Lunala smiled at the formality of the Warden's greeting, the sincerity of her words as genuine as the warmth in her tone.
You may rise, 7th Warden. Thank you for making this trip in person. I have matters most delicate to discuss with you. This one is honored to bask in your physical presence, Your Majesty,
the Warden said before rising to settle into a seat across from her.
It is not often one may do so. To what do I owe such a great honor?
Lunala harrumphed.
You may drop the formalities, Lady Silvertear. I will speak plainly as to why I have summoned you. Very well.
Lady Silvertear crossed her legs slowly under her robes, getting more comfortable.
I am eager to hear it, Your Majesty. Are you perplexed at my support for the Iron Bull in challenging you, Lady Silvertear?
Lunala let the question hang in the air. It had been months now, but she knew the subject was still a sore one for her. The Iron Bull had challenged the Warden for leadership, a thing not possible as they were of unequal martial ranking, but Lunala had authorized the challenge regardless.
You are the princess, Your Majesty,
the Warden said without missing a beat.
This one would not dare question your divine authority or wisdom.
Lunala chuckled. Once again, her words were as empty as her soul. Still, the Lady Silvertear was useful to her now, a pawn to enact her plan.
You can be rest assured that you are in no danger of losing your position, 7th Warden,
Lunala said, and then added for clarity.
Even if you did violate Imperial law with an unsanctioned attack against a fellow martial sect.
Silvertear stiffened, perhaps not expecting her to bring the subject up so pointedly. It was true, though. In her rage, the Lady Silvertear had made a grave error in attacking the Iron Bull, one that Lunala would now use to enact her control.
This one did apologize, Your Majesty. It was unintentional, yes, so you said. Still, a crime is a crime, and it would be only right for you to face the Iron Bull according to his writ to atone for it.
In truth, she cared little about the act itself. So long as the Iron Bull fulfilled his portion of the agreement, serving as tribute for her planet's part in the war against the cursed stars, she couldn't care less for his challenge to the Warden's position. Still, it served a greater purpose now.
Indeed, Your Majesty,
Lady Silvertear said, bowing her head in acknowledgement.
Your reasoning for supporting the Iron Bull's challenge in this regard is clear. And just.
Lunala smiled. She had set the tone perfectly for the conversation to come.
I am delighted that you understand, 7th Warden,
she said.
It would be entirely inappropriate to disregard such a flagrant action, Yet, I believe this challenge is a fair way for you to save face for both yourself and your clan. Indeed! Where would we be as a people without the Great Soul Emperor's divine rule of imperial law?
She bowed her head again.
This one is eternally grateful for your mercy and grace, Your Majesty.
The first part was a slight against her father, but she would let it pass for now. There were greater matters to address at hand.
My grace will extend even further, Seventh Warden,
Lunala said.
You need not fear the loss of your position. In fact, I doubt you will ever face the Iron Bull in the ring at all.
Silver Tear squinted, confused for a moment, but then she smiled.
I see. You are wise, Your Majesty, to have sent the Iron Bull to the Academy. His death there would certainly not be unexpected. I thank you for this reprieve.
Lunala lowered her brows.
Do not misunderstand me, Seventh Warden. I have all expectations that the Iron Bull will survive. And if he returns as a Diamond Bracket Legionnaire, he will have every right and likely even the strength to face you in the ring.
Silver Tear swallowed visibly but didn't say anything.
In fact,
she said,
I want you to ensure the Iron Bull makes it to the Academy unharmed. Nothing ill is to befall him during his travels. Understood?
Lunala paused for emphasis, making it clear an assassination attempt while in transit to the Core Worlds was out of the question.
Understood, Your Majesty. Good,
she said.
However, while he is at the Academy, I will require a repayment of your indebtedness for my grace.
Lady Silvertear leaned back in her chair, her body language the equivalent of an eye roll as she crossed her legs again.
Is that so, Your Majesty? And in what form would you prefer this debt to be repaid?
There it was, the invitation she had orchestrated. She need only supply the name now.
The girl, Silver Light,
she said, and then paused, knowing that this was a relative to Silver Tear, albeit a very distant one.
Her actions do indeed make her a disgrace to your royal clan, to all royalty, in fact. I will allow you permission to chastise her as you first sought, permanently. But it must be discreet.
Lady Silvertear's eyes widened.
Permanently, Your Majesty? You must do so in a way that the Iron Bull is not impacted,
Lunala said.
He will be this planet's first ever tribute, and I do not need anything that might distract him from his advancement at the Academy. If he were to fail, it would bring much shame to my rule.
The last thing she needed was the Iron Bull losing focus due to the death of his betrothed. The reward of his young bride waiting for him at home would push him through the many challenges that lay ahead. But once he had accomplished that, there was far more that Lunala had planned for him.
Let me be plain,
Lunala said as she leaned over her desk.
Do this successfully, and you will not only keep your position, but perhaps even expand on it.
Silver Tear shifted in her seat uncomfortably, but her eyes remained steady.
I see,
she said.
That is most gracious. Yet I fail still to comprehend fully what Your Majesty asks of this one.
Anger stirred within her. The bitch knew damn well what she was requesting, but she would make her say it aloud out of satisfaction.
Curse her and all her rotten clan,
Lunala thought. She leaned across the table again, making it clear she would not be repeating herself.
I don't care how you do it exactly,
Lunala said,
so long as it is discreet. The Lady Silverlight must live long enough to see the Iron Bull succeed at the Academy, but not long enough to see her wedding day. Are we clear?
The warden raised a brow as if surprised, and Lunala could sense the woman had discerned her ulterior motive with ease, a counter to her parry. Still, it mattered not. The warden was still under her control and wouldn't dare try to use it against her, not while the possibility of more power was within her grasp.
I understand, Your Majesty,
the warden said.
But I must profess that this Dong family in particular has made quite the mockery of my clan. It would be far more fitting to display her chastisement to the rest of my sect openly to demonstrate the repercussion of such actions. To do what you ask would deny my clan of such justice and correction.
Lunala smiled. A subtle challenge to her authority, it seemed. It was confirmation that the warden knew that she held some leverage over her now, knowing that her interests lay more with the Iron Bull than with Silverlight herself. But she would not fold so easily.
You have heard my instructions,
Lunala said, still slightly irked at the challenge.
Not before the Iron Bull's success,
she then paused.
But leading up to that, you may do whatever you wish.
She let the sentence linger, and the warden raised a brow in question.
There are other ways to publicly demonstrate contrition besides death,
Lunala said. And the warden chuckled, finally understanding what she was saying.
So she is not completely off limits, then. Interesting. I will see to something in that regard, but would that we would have the funding to complete other important tasks within the poor province of Jurin before executing such an important one for the Divine Princess herself.
Lunala scowled. The woman was as shameless as she was heartless, requesting a bribe outright for her compliance and hopeful secrecy in what she had asked. Still, she should expect no less from the Lady Silvertear.
Perhaps a slight increase in Imperial disbursement for Jurin Province is in order,
Lunala said.
100,000 spirit stones, perhaps?
Silvertear bowed with a smile.
You are most generous, Your Majesty. Damn greedy bitch. Then we are agreed,
Lunala said, standing, and Lady Silvertear did the same.
Indeed we are,
Silvertear said and bowed once more.
Until the appointed time, you are free to do with as you will with Lady Silverlight,
Lunala said, and then, envisioning the beautiful platinum-haired girl in her mind's eye, a sudden anger sparked within her, a jealousy fueled by envy and hate.
In fact, make that little girl's life as burdensome as possible.
Silvertear raised a brow.
Oh? Short of upsetting the Iron Bull, the Lady Silverlight is yours to torment. Understood?
The warden nodded and gave her a knowing smile.
As you command, Divine Princess.
Chapter 1. The Reaper Beast roared from less than 50 feet away, the jaws of its crocodilian head billowing steam into the crisp spring air as its twin sets of eyes filled with rage. It beat the chest of its baboon-like body in a challenge, and my flame stirred slowly in response. It wasn't an awakened Reaper Beast like I'd hoped, but it was a big one, standing at least 2 stories tall and as wide as a house. Not the strongest thing in the world to me right now, I thought as I readied my axe and phalanx glaive. But it'll have to do. I was on a short timeline, and every minute would count. Settling into a semi-meditative state, I split my consciousness and focused on the 2 spectral forms in my mind's eye. On one side was the familiar red-hued body of the demon that was my alter ego, the personification of my demon, beast, and giant forms combined. It was a fearsome-looking creature at over 12 feet tall, bull's horns, fangs, claws, and a demonic visage that just barely resembled my own. In stark contrast, the blue-hued struggler that stood opposite him had a face and form that resembled mine in every detail. They both looked back at me expectantly, mentally urging me to pick one of them to embody with my inner soul projection technique. But I wasn't after that today. I'd already mastered inner soul projection over the last 2 months and was chasing the next ability on the cultivation tier, secondary soul germination. But for that, I needed to know exactly what my secondary soul was. I had but an inkling, one that I hoped today to prove true. Except there was only one problem. I had no clue how to do it. What do I need to do to combine you two numbskulls, I thought, looking at the both of them. Was it even possible? Before I could get another thought out, the Reaper Beast let loose a final roar and began to charge, shaking the ground like an earthquake. Shit. This was the scenario I'd been gunning for, but now it was beginning to feel like a bad idea. For weeks, I'd been trying to advance to the 9th tier of the Core Realm to germinate my secondary soul, which, by my research, should be the culmination of the demon and struggler forms and my split spirit combined as one. But so far, I wasn't having much luck. The panic of a Reaper Beast bearing down on me was the catalyst I thought might lead me to a breakthrough, but all it seemed to be doing so far was make the demon leer at me while the struggler pointed in the direction of the beast with concern. Idiots, I thought. All three of us were. The two images in my mind being mere mirrors of my inner self. Come on! I shouted out loud. I need the full strength of the demon as well as the struggler to kill this thing. Combine you two! Do something! They stared back at me and shrugged. Assholes. I considered jumping into the demon form and then trying to summon the struggler thereafter, but I'd done that once before and nearly lost my mind. Way too dangerous. Perhaps the only way around instead.
Max!
The call came from Fia, who'd come to act as my safety net. Her gorgeous face was creased with worry as she hovered in midair 30 feet off the ground. Her robes billowed with the power of the chi technique that held her aloft as 3 Jian blades hovered about her in a defensive formation, ready to act on my command.
I think you're the one that needs to do something now,
she shouted. She was right. The Reaper Beast was nearly on top of me. Damn it, I thought. No time left now. I entered the form of the struggler and used my inner soul projection to manifest a ghostly image of him outside my true body. In my mind's eye, I tried to dive inside my demon form next, but the hulking beast merely folded his arms and turned his back to me as if insulted I hadn't picked him first. The result was me doing absolutely nothing as the beast snapped me up inside its car-sized jaws.
Max!
Fia cried and began laying into the creature with beams of radiant light shooting from her palms. But that did little to deter it as the monster began to savage me in its jaws, whipping its head from side to side like a dog chewing his favorite play toy. For me, it turned my world into a roller coaster ride that I couldn't wait to get off. Frenzy cycled through my meridians, bolstering my steel skin and steel core techniques, preserving me from being punctured by its razor-sharp teeth and crushing jaws. Still, I let the desperation of the predicament steep inside my mind and urged the demon to grant me his strength and merge with my projected struggler form. But when I glimpsed back into the realm of my inner soul, the bastard had gone and disappeared. Son of a bitch, I thought. Did I just ghost myself? The idiocy of the idea irritated me, and I finally gave up on my little experiment. Wrath of 1,000 slain souls! Bolts of blue lightning ripped from my body as I enunciated the technique, sending the Reaper Beast convulsing and howling in pain. The brief reprieve allowed me to break myself from its jaws, and I used my axe and phalanx glaive both to cut a healthy swath of destruction through its torso. The beast roared in pain as my ghostly inner soul projection cut through it. It didn't really add anything to my attack, however. Its effects were limited to impacting the spiritual realm, but it didn't need to either. The strength of my normal techniques alone was enough to cause the beast to fall dead after 3 more hits. As I stood back from my handiwork, I slowly cultivated the frenzy my bloodlust had triggered, trying to at least gain something from the failed attempt. Fia touched down on the ground next to me and shook her head.
I presume it didn't work?
I let out a sigh. Yep, no dice again. Fia folded her arms as she looked at the massive beast.
Amazing,
she said.
It wasn't too long ago that one of these things nearly killed the two of us combined. Now you use them as practice fodder.
It was true. About a year ago, when I first met Fia, we had to kill two of the things back to back. It had taken us both pushing ourselves to our limits to survive, but now I could literally eat these things for breakfast. Yeah, I said, chuckling as I draped my arm around her shoulders. A different time and a different place. We've come a long way since then.
We have,
she said, beaming up at me with a smile, but then her smile faded.
We have a much longer way to go, though. Like 3 years longer.
Her words caused a heaviness to fill my soul. It won't be that long, I said. I promise you, I'll bust through that academy and come back a Diamond Bracket Legionnaire in no time. She laughed as I laid on a cheesy grin, letting her know I was taking the mammoth task ahead of me lightly, only in jest. And it was true for the most part. I still planned to be back in record time, but I wasn't going to underestimate the unknown challenges that lay ahead. I'd barely been outside of Jiren Province, and now I was about to head into space to attend some military academy that literally killed more students than they graduated, and if I were lucky enough to survive, I'd then be sent on a suicide mission to tour the hell worlds of the cursed stars. The thought alone triggered odds against me, but I had no clue what the reality of it would truly entail. It didn't matter, though. I had no choice but to succeed in it all. Graduating from the academy and surviving a single tour was what I needed to gain the Imperial status to return to Earth as a big shot that no one could deny. Not even the Warden, or even the Princess herself in time. But more than that, it was the status I needed to marry Fia.
I believe you will do just that,
Fia said, her smile returning.
Your work at the Galone should see you through. Here it is, your last day, and you're still out here training, trying to achieve a breakthrough.
I smiled with her. My last day was yesterday. Today is the day, remember? She huffed out a sigh, and I could sense a nervous fear bubble up within her.
Yes, and I wish you wouldn't remind me. 5 months went by too quickly.
The months had indeed flown by, but we had made the most of them. After Yuli and Guizu's wedding, we waited a month before having an engagement tea ceremony of our own. It was a much less festive and more formal affair, attended by Fia's family as well as the Warden, and even a representative from the Princess herself to officiate. In truth, it hadn't been comfortable for either of us. But after the formalities, we enjoyed a neighborhood block party that melted all the stuffiness and legality away. We still couldn't live together. But being betrothed allowed us to be together in public openly, and we made the most of it, enjoying date nights in the city and saving the secret rendezvous in the wilderness for when our bodies couldn't take the physical separation anymore. The thought of that made me give Fia a suggestive stare.
What?
She said as I leered at her. You know what.
What?
She said.
Now?
I shrugged. Your call. But it will be 3 long years before we can be together again. She sighed, exasperated, but gave me a mischievous little grin.
You're insufferable, you know that?
I try, I said, and pulled her into my arms and gave her a long kiss. We retreated to our secret lakeside beach and then melted into one another, sharing in a bittersweet intimacy that neither of us wanted to end. When it finally did, we lay together holding each other and looking up at the morning sky.
You'll be up there soon,
Fia said.
Out amongst the stars. I'm not sure I can do without you for 3 years, Max.
Well, at least you'll know where to look for me. She swatted me playfully as I cracked a laugh.
All right, come on, you,
she said like she was my mother.
You need to make your final rounds of goodbyes. And that includes my parents.
I groaned inwardly at the thought of that. Not that I didn't want to see them, but more I wasn't sure if they wanted to see me. Things had not been going well for the Dong family of late, and while Fia's mother, the Lady Silvermoon, still readily accepted me, I knew her old man, Master Hei Dong, blamed me for most of what had happened to them. And he wasn't wrong in doing so. It included the Lady Silvermoon's Dantian being crippled by Master Lo Feng, and Master Hei Dong losing his position as the Vice Warden of Jiren Province. All of it was fallout from me pinning the blame for my destruction of the Firebird sect on the Silver Leaf Clan. A bonehead move in hindsight, and one that I was now desperate to make up for. I still didn't know how they truly felt about it all, but they seemed to be keeping the peace for Fia's sake. "We'll stop by your parents on our way up to the skyport," I said, hoping to buy us some more time to collect my thoughts. "We'll say goodbye to everyone else until then." My skiff to the starship hovering in orbit somewhere high above was scheduled for late afternoon. Still being early morning, it gave me ample time to double-check my belongings and ensure I had everything I would need for my trip across the stars. Besides a few sets of robes, there actually wasn't much else to take. I'd already memorized my cultivation manuals as well as the shuras from Thraya's sword, who I now knew as Venya. If anything, I wished I could have brought her along for the trip, if only to have some decent company the entire time. But she was still needed to protect the bunker out in the wild. I destroyed the cosmic gate that linked the demons of the Blood Moon to the Earth, but there were still normal demons on the surface to defend against, and not to mention what else could transpire while I was gone. I wrapped my non-sentient version of Venya, my homemade phalanx glaive, in a cloth for my travels instead. I slung it on my back along with my axe and prepared to start my journey.
"All ready?"
Fia asked as she waited for me just outside what would one day become our apartment upon my return. I nodded and closed the door. "Let's go say goodbye." Everyone in the square had gathered for me, and I could barely hold back the tears that tugged on my eyes as they all presented me with small gifts to fill my half-empty duffel bag. Yuli was crying by the time she finished hugging me, which seemed to last for an hour.
"You don't be stupid out there, you hear me?"
she said, wiping her eyes.
"You make sure you come home."
"I will, Yuli," I said, and then reaching down, I lifted the not-so-little Su Ling into my arms as well. "Uncle will be back soon, okay?" The little girl rested her head against my chest sweetly.
"Okay, Unky Max."
My heart melted just a little bit more as I kissed her on the forehead. Guizhu stepped in next with an almighty hug, the big man squeezing me hard as he slapped me on the back.
"You don't worry about a thing, brother. Zhang Yi and I have everything under control. You just focus on your studies and staying alive."
I chuckled at the last part, even though it wasn't a joke. "Thanks, Guizhu. I appreciate it, man." Zhang Yi in her formal barrister robes approached me next.
"The day has finally come,"
she said with a bow, and then presented me with a small envelope held in both hands.
"Your travel and identification documents, safely saved as promised."
As soon as I'd received the formal invitation letter and transit pass from the Du Gok Bong Legionnaire Academy, I'd asked Zhang Yi to hold them for me. I didn't trust myself not to lose something so important over the 5 months of waiting for the Academy's intake to commence. But now that day was finally here. "Thank you, Zhang Yi," I said, accepting them with a bow, and then forced her to give me a hug, which she accepted warmly, despite not having the natural inclination to initiate one on her own. As she stepped back, I looked for the next two members of my inner circle, Zhu Tian and Kelsey. They both now wore small pins on their robes that signified them as second vice wardens of the Terran sect, serving under Guizhu. Zhu Tian fell to her knees in a kowtow, pressing her forehead against the ground.
"My very best wishes for your success, sect leader," she said. "May you return to us strong and whole."
"Thanks, Zhu Tian," I said, acknowledging her bow with one of my own. When I looked at Kelsey, all she gave me was a smile.
"Don't expect me to bow to you like that,"
she said in English.
"But I will give you one of these."
She grabbed me about the waist and lifted me off the ground in a bear hug that gave Guizhu a run for his money. I couldn't hold back my laugh as she set me back down again, and I bopped her playfully on the jaw as she grinned from ear to ear. "I'm gonna miss your punk ass," I said to her in English as well, and then gave her a proper hug, squeezing her tight. "You remember to check back on the bunker every couple of weeks, okay? You're their warden now."
"Got it,"
she said.
"And you don't need to remind me. My mom and Colonel Harris have me on a tight schedule of supply runs. We'll be looking to build out the village proper this summer on the surface. Hopefully by the time you come back, it'll look like this place out there."
I smiled at that, envisioning the people of the bunker finally being able to live outside and free. "Nice. And remember to not get too carried away when you're back here either. Listen to Guizhu and Jianyi. They'll keep you out of trouble. She slammed a fist into her palm.
Don't worry. I'll save my frenzy for the demons.
I stepped back and marveled at her for a moment. Kelsey was still young, a blonde-haired teenager with a face to match, but with the body of a mini-berserker now. She was a low-tier core realm cultivator, well-equipped to protect the bunker and even the people here in my absence. Although when it came to being in the city, she'd have to rely on her fighting skills more than her raw power. Like me, she would need to grow her reputation first or risk being called out as a demonic cultivator, or worse, what she truly was, a berserker. No beasting out in the city, I reminded her, and join up for the Wooden Bracket tournament as soon as it opens. Rank up to Iron as soon as you can afterwards, but don't go hog wild on people weaker than you. You'll draw too much attention.
Got it,
she said.
I'll try not to break any of your records, too.
I gave her another grin as she winked. You go kick ass, little sis.
You too, big bro.
I finally turned to the rest of the crowd that had gathered together and received bows and well wishes from each of them. When we were finally done, it felt like nearly an hour had passed. Finally, Yu Li stepped next to Fia and bumped hips with her as she held Su Ling.
And don't you worry about her either, Max,
Yu Li said to me while grinning at Fia.
Well, I'll take good care of Auntie Fia while you're gone.
Everyone laughed at that, and Fia blushed while shaking her head with a smile. It warmed my heart to see how close the relationship had grown in just a few months. But I suppose Fia being Su Ling's actual blood aunt was a good reason for that. Even now, Fia visited daily to give Su Ling her first lessons in cultivation and the basics of the Silver Leaf Clan martial arts.
Thank you, Yu Li,
Fia said, hugging her.
You know I'm going to need quite a few of these when those lonely days take hold.
We've got you, my lady, Guizhu said warmly, caressing Fia on the back.
Fia wiped a small tear from her eye as she choked back a sob with a laugh.
Thank you, Guizhu.
She then looked up at me.
Well, one last stop. Are you ready?
As I'll ever be, I wanted to say, but stifled that with a cheery smile and a nod. We saved the best for last, I said, which made Fia smile. It was time to go see Mom and Dad.
Chapter 2 Master He Dong sighed heavily as the small groups of cultivators milled about the courtyard of the Dong family estate with a mixture of haughtiness and indifference. He had transformed the place overnight, creating small pedestals by covering stools and tables with white cloth and then adorning them with some of his most prized collectibles from the Dong family arsenal. Fine Jian blades made of Aurorian alloyed steel, spirit stone-encrusted talismans, and even armor pieces for more ceremonial events decorated the landscape, turning his private home into a gallery of fine arts and martial craft. He Dong had advertised the open house as a charity event, giving his neighbors and friends a rare opportunity to obtain wares that would normally never be for sale. Sadly, the charity in this case was for his very own family now. He put on a smile as he helped an off-world cultivator assess the worth of a spear that had taken him nearly a year to forge. As a master smith, it was easy to embellish the story of not only its creation, but the history of every specific ingredient that led to its composition, like its shaft being hewn from a 5,000-year-old demonic tree as to why it was worth so many spirit stones. Sadly, she still didn't buy it.
Curse my fate, he thought. The process of selling his belongings was a painful one.
Ironic, almost. There were days not long ago when he would have longed to do just this. Return to his first love as an artisan cultivator and enjoy his days haggling with customers about the best price for his wares. But that was when his position as Vice Warden consumed his time with administration and bureaucratic toil. Going back to his roots had been a welcome escape or daydream from the everyday pressures of being the second in command of the entire province. But now it had become his nightmare of shame. If his neighbors only knew that he needed every spirit stone of this sale just to maintain his household for another month, then he would suffer a loss of face even greater than what he had lost already. Even now, he could sense the subtle disdain they held for him when looking over his fine works. Had this been a year ago, the Heights of Royalty would have flocked to merely attend such an event and cherish the rare opportunity to bid on a weapon created by the renowned vice warden and artisan, Master He Dong of the Silverleaf Clan. Now they scorned him. The rumors of his failure so worn through that even to mention them had fallen out of vogue. He Dong was now becoming something even worse than scorned and ridiculed. He was becoming insignificant. The cheery call of his wife's voice broke him out of his spiraling thoughts, and he looked up to see the simultaneous cause and cure for all his misfortune. Max Chan. The man dwarfed his daughter like a giant, his robes barely able to contain his hulking form. Just a look at him caused an ire of conflict to fill his soul. Chun's power and skills as a martial cultivator were undeniable, his progression far more than should be possible for a man his age. Yet here he stood, a Terran native, barely 2 decades old, who had defeated his longtime rival and enemy, Lo Fang. His martial prowess had caught the attention of not only his daughter, but even the princess herself. The man was a prodigy. Or so the rumor mill was churning about him. He was a double-edged sword in that regard. For He Dong, anyway. His infamy now added to He Dong's own disgrace and obsolescence. His actions had cost He Dong his position, yet they had also saved his wife and daughter from certain death. A daughter who now loved him. And in truth, there was not much He Dong could say against the man's character. A handsome brood of simple ways and thoughts. A good balance to his daughter, perhaps, who followed in his footsteps of wisdom and cunning. Still, it shamed him that this man was now of greater status than he. His wife, Ri Dong, did not seem to mind or care. Since the crippling of her Dantian, she seemed to have thrown herself into her newfound role as a grandmother. Heian's illegitimate daughter, Su Ling, who despite adding to his family's growing shame, was now the apple of his wife's eye, and even his own at times.
So conflicted, he thought. He should hate this man, Max Chan, for everything he had done to bring shame into his family. The petitioning of his daughter's hand in marriage, the challenging of the warden which had caused He Dong to lose his position, and even the planting of that quill which had caused He Dong to waste half his family's fortune on a grand sage that did nothing except prove his daughter guilty. The thought of it all caused more ire to build in his stomach. Max Chun had caused everything. Yet he did also save his family and destroy one of his greatest enemies. More than that, He Dong himself could respect the man's ambition and power. To boldly challenge the Legionnaire Academy was no small feat, and yet here he stood at the precipice, about to depart on a journey across the stars. Perhaps fate would resolve his conflict by never having to see the man again, He Dong thought. It was a wishful notion, but one that would devastate his daughter, and perhaps even his wife now. He Dong sighed. Like it or not, this man of simultaneous destruction and salvation was joined to his family in more ways than one, and He Dong would have to endure him for who knew how long now. So conflicted, he thought again. So conflicted. As I approached Master He Dong, I could sense a mixture of hatred and lemonade within his soul. A rare combination, and one that did anything but put me at ease as I stood face to face with the artisan cultivator who would one day become my father-in-law. Despite the anger inside him, his face maintained a perfect and practiced smile as Fia and I bowed before him.
"Greetings, father,"
Fia said.
"Max is on his way to the skyport now. He wanted to pay his respects."
I stood stiffly and then performed a deep bow. "This one is honored to have been made part of your family, Master He Dong. I will do my best to return home a champion, and to provide for your daughter a home befitting one such as her and akin to the one you yourself have created." I had been working at that little speech all night, but it elicited nothing more than a polite smile from Master He Dong. I wish you well, he said, for my daughter's sake. The words felt like ice, even though they were spoken with a smile. It seemed to fool Fia and her mother, though, who both grinned and nodded in return.
You must come back swiftly,
Lady Silvermoon said.
My daughter would not do well to wait as long as I did to start a family.
Fia blushed and laughed, but didn't disagree with her either. Hey Dong let out a harumph. My lovely wife, always getting ahead of herself. I laughed, but was eager to change the topic of conversation. The sale seems to be going well, I said, looking about. A lot of customers, it looks like. He shrugged. It is a sale, nothing more. An odd and uncomfortable silence fell as he said nothing else. I didn't know what else to say either.
I'll be happy to be rid of some of this junk,
Lady Silvermoon said.
It's cluttered our lives for far too long. Decades, even.
Her words broke the tension with a small laugh, but Fia had already told me why Master Heidong was holding the sale. The family finances were not in good shape. Again, mostly due to me. I felt guilty as hell for Master Heidong losing his position by me challenging the warden, but I didn't know how to even breach the topic with him, or even if I should. It was clear his pride was wounded, and pandering to him would probably only make him hate me more. My first taste of that came from when I had offered to share some of the gains from the Firebird's coffers with him. Hei Dong had grown silent at the offer, but I could sense an anger burning within him. He responded with a polite decline, but I knew I had offended him greatly. Still, I didn't want to come across as some insensitive asshole either, oblivious to his plight. I still didn't know Master Hei Dong very well, but he was Fia's father, and she adored him. I needed to make some effort to foster a real relationship between us. I thought I'd slammed a home run with him, at first. He had accepted my proposal to marry Fia with little hesitation after I defeated Lo Fang. But now, perhaps, after losing his position and with the luster of me saving his family wearing off, he was beginning to resent me. Or so I feared. Things will get better when I return, I said. I'll put everything right. I left it as open and nondescript as that, hoping to claim some responsibility for what I'd done. Oh, he said. Will you now? He chuckled and placed his hands behind his back. I suppose we shall see. The barrier between us felt like ice again, but I decided to let it drop. I gave him a final bow and gave one to Fia's mother as well. She at least pulled me into an embrace.
May the fates of the heavens be with you,
she said. We finally departed, giving them both a wave, and headed out to the courtyard. Man, I said once we were out of earshot, your dad really hates me.
What?
Fia said, sounding surprised.
That's not true. You impress him immensely, I'm sure of it.
I glanced back to see Master Heidong still staring at me, or perhaps glaring was more accurate. Well, you can't sense his inner spirit like I can, I said, turning back around. Trust me, there's more hate than lemonade in there.
More hate than what?
Never mind, I said. I really didn't need to dwell on this negativity, not before leaving. I had millions of miles to travel and unknown trials to face after that. My last moments with Fia had to be ones I could cherish, not lament over. Maybe you're right. I lied. I guess I'm just reading into things. Fia smiled, happy again.
Let's get you to the skyport. The skiff will be arriving soon.
As we headed for the upper levels of the Imperial City, I took one last glance back towards Master Heidong as he catered to the would-be buyers in his courtyard. A sad sight. He was a man broken. A man that I had broken. And I needed to make amends. It was clear I couldn't have a conversation about it, though. It was just something I would need to do. I added one more item to my list of reasons I could not fail. I needed to return victorious, not just to become warden and marry Fia. I needed the power to restore the honor of Master Heidong as well. The rays of the afternoon sun filtered down between the crisscrossing walkways of the upper city like beams of light from heaven. As Fee and I rode the lift skyward to the topmost part of the giant pagoda, I was treated to yet another fabulous view. That of the iceberg-sized crystal that was the true heart of the floating city. The massive aetherite crystal hovered in the center of the various walkways, connected to the superstructure of the pagoda by them and other frameworks of stone and gleaming steel. The golden-hued crystal not only provided the protective barrier that kept the populace safe from the Blood Moon, but also the energy to keep the entire city afloat and even propel it across space to the distant stars. It was hard to believe, but the entire city was actually a starship, similar to one that I would soon be traveling upon, presumably. "It's kind of crazy," I said, marveling at it. "In my world, only a lucky few ever experienced traveling in space. Now I'm about to go further than any Terran has ever been." Fia smiled.
"It's not something I would relish to do often. It took us close to 2 years to travel here from the core worlds."
2 years? I had no idea it had taken so long, but I guess to move something so massive took time.
"It was stifling even for being in a city this large,"
she said.
"But fear not. I believe your transport will be much swifter."
I chuckled. "I hope so." Nerves and excitement filled me the more I thought of it. For 5 months I've been preparing for this, but now I was truly about to embark into the unknown. We reached the uppermost level of the city and was greeted by nothing but wide-open sky. The Jurin City Skyport lived up to every bit of its name in that regard. A strong and steady wind blew across the deck, throwing about our robes as we made our way across the flat surface where several skiffs were parked. The one I was headed for was obvious, being 3 times the size of the others and covered by a translucent canopy the size of a bus. But as we got closer, I saw there was a small contingent of people waiting for me as well. I recognized the sect immediately from their billowing black and silver robes. Members of the Silver Leaf Clan, but when I got close enough to see their faces, it caused both Fia and I to pause. The ageless face of the warden herself, the Lady Silvertear, deigned to crack a smile as we approached. But her presence wasn't what truly surprised me. Next to her were 3 women I recognized immediately, primarily because they all looked the same. They could pass for being sisters with Lady Silvertear, with long silver hair and faces looking close to her in age, although truthfully they were but a fraction of the Lady Silvertear's 200+ years.
"What the hell are the Bird Sisters doing here?"
Fia whispered to me, as confused as I was about their presence. The 3 Bird Sisters, the Lady Silverhawk, Silver Dove, and Silver Sparrow, were named so for obvious reasons, but also due to the fact that they were triplets who ruled the Iron Bracket Tournament, or at least had been, until I put an end to their reign 6 months ago. Even now I could sense a building hate and anger inside the 3 of them, especially from the Lady Silverhawk, whom I had punished in the ring for trying to impersonate her younger sister, Wei Shen. Fia and I stopped short and performed dutiful bows to the 4 of them.
"Greetings, sect leader,"
Fia said, falling to 1 knee.
"This one did not expect to see you here."
"I believe it is only fitting that I see my challenger off in good fortune,"
Lady Silvertear said, throwing a sideward glance at me.
"I would not want to be accused of being fearful to face him upon his return."
I gave her a half-hearted bow. "You're too kind, Lady Silvertear."
"And dear cousins,"
Fia said, turning to the Bird Sisters to give them a bow as well.
"I see you have joined as well for some reason."
"Why should they not be here?"
the Lady Silvertear said.
"Is it not their station to be by my side?"
Fia squinted her eyes confused, and so did I. The sisters leered at us while the warden let out a laugh.
"Apologies,"
she said.
"This one forgets that she is still yet to make an official announcement. Be honored, then, that you are of the very first to hear the news."
"What news?" I asked.
"Allow me to introduce you to your father's successors, Lady Silverlight,"
the warden said as my mind did a double take.
"You may each now pay your respects.
The Lady Silverhawk, Silverdove, and Silver Sparrow are now your three new Vice Wardens of Jiren Province.
Chapter 3.
You've gotta be shitting me, I thought as my mouth hung open.
Fia had much the same reaction, staring deadpan at her three older cousins as they grinned like idiots. And idiots they were, as far as I could remember.
What the hell was the warden thinking?
I hid my reaction with indifference and struggler's resolve, but couldn't pass up the opportunity to express how I truly felt about the matter. Damn, I said. Was their level of competence so far below Master Heidong's that you had to hire all three of them to make up for it? Fia let loose a startled laugh, clearly taken off guard by my offhanded comment, but then cut it short immediately, struggling to maintain composure in front of her cousins and sect leader. The three bird sisters were, not surprisingly, a bit slower on the uptake and reacted with delayed scowls and sneers.
How dare you! You think you can openly disrespect us like that? We are vice wardens now! You must respect us!
I raised my hands in surrender. Hey, take it easy. Just wanted to know what my taxes were going towards is all.
I should kill you where you stand for that remark,
one of them said, taking a step forward.
You have insulted not just a royal lady, but a high official of the imperial throne.
I still couldn't tell them all apart, but by her bravado, I figured she had to be Lady Silverhawk, the seemingly oldest of the three. Or whom they defer to, like an older sister anyway. Look, Wei Shen, or are you Silverhawk? I can never tell you two apart. Anyway, there's nothing to be gained here. Just take it easy. I grinned at her, reminding her that I knew her secret of when she impersonated her younger sister in the ring. Her insides boiled with anger and indignation, but she didn't say anything else. Dumbasses indeed, I concluded. And then cultivated her impotent anger to add fresh frenzy to my growing Dantian. The warden herself then stepped forward ahead of her nieces.
You should count yourself lucky that this is your last day in my city, Iron Bull. For make no mistake, every stray word from that loose tongue of yours will be held to account one day.
I guess it's a good thing I haven't violated any laws then, I said, matching her gaze, and my heart began to pound. I still couldn't believe I was standing this close to her. The Lady Silver Tear, the ice-cold bitch who had left my parents and sister for dead. The woman I had vowed to destroy from the time I was 8 years old. The thought surged through my mind, tapping into the root of my Tao. But I would have to wait. As strong as I was, she was a diamond bracket contender and a sacred soul realm cultivator to boot, a full realm above where I stood right now. I would need to take every advantage the training at the Legionnaire Academy would afford me, not only for my imperial status, but to gain the cultivation strength and fighting skills I would need to defeat the warden as well. The Lady Silver Tear smirked.
Still clever. But not very wise.
I raised a brow, trying to figure what the hell she meant by that. But then her eyes shifted towards Fia.
Lady Silverlight,
she said, and then paused.
Or perhaps I will begin to refer to you as your new title now. Fia Dong, the betrothed of the Iron Bull.
Despite the disparaging remark, Fia bowed to her with respect.
Yes, Honorable Warden. You will do well to know what I have tasked my new Vice Wardens to review the regulations surrounding the Terran populace in the Native Housing District, and to ensure the enforcement of the same. As you are soon to enter into that sect, I thought you should know in advance that reform is swiftly on its way.
Ire stirred in my gut. Was she actually going to let those three boneheads loose on my people? I was just about to say something when she continued ahead of me.
I have also heard rumor of your father engaging in some sort of commerce within his private home.
I will, of course, ensure that one of my vice wardens visits him personally to ensure he has the proper license to conduct such business.
My ire turned to outright rage as her game plan became clear. She wasn't just targeting me and my people. She was gunning for Fia and her family as well. The thought brought on a new sense of oppression and control. A control I wished I had the power to eliminate with a stroke of my blade. But I just didn't have the strength or status to deal with it now. Curse this damn bitch, I thought. She had probably dragged her ass and that of her three incompetent nieces up here just to belabor the point right before I would depart. A farewell that would make it clear that all would not be well while I was away from home. Damn cultivator society manipulation at its best. I could sense the subtle fear in Fia's soul as she no doubt saw the game plan for herself. But I wouldn't give them the satisfaction of a win. I steeled myself with indifference and gave a cheery smile.
Good to hear it, I said. It's about time the warden's office paid some attention to the native housing district. I'm sure my sect would welcome any change to come and adapt accordingly.
Let's hope they do,
Lady Silvertear said.
The punishment for disobeying imperial law is quite steep.
You'd be one to know, I said without missing a beat. The princess herself called you out on your own infraction, didn't she?
I gave her a shit-eating grin, and her insides surged with rage.
You insolent little cur,
she shouted, finally losing her composure.
I hope you do succeed in surviving the academy and return here so that I can kill you with my own hands. I will make you pay for every stray word that filthy mouth of yours has uttered.
Her eyes then shifted to Fia as she gave a leer.
But not before I make you suffer the loss of everything you hold dear.
My hand was on my axe before I knew it, brandishing it before her face. The move was so sudden that the three bird sisters let out a gasp along with Fia, but to the warden's credit, she didn't flinch at all and merely held her stare.
Oh, am I the one to have finally struck a nerve now?
She said.
Damn bitch. You even think about doing something to her, and I'll make sure even your ancestors will feel my wrath. You got me. The demon surged within me as my flame roared, the outright threat begging me to have our duel right here and now. But luckily, the struggler was also at the controls, easing me back from what would be a disastrous error in judgment.
Bold words,
she said.
We will see how much of that bravado is left if you ever do return. Odds are that you won't, however.
I work best when the odds are against me, bitch.
Greetings, all.
The interruption came from a gentle voice I didn't recognize, and I paused to see a petite woman in imperial robes addressing all of us. She was plain-looking, short hair, not a martial cultivator by any means, but she had a golden jade pin on her robes that looked very official.
1,000 apologies for the interruption,
the woman said.
This one is Ling Wei, personal aide to Her Royal Majesty, Third Princess Lunala. I have come to escort you, Master Iron Bull, to the transport vessel now waiting in orbit for departure.
Holy crap, I thought, lowering my axe. Talk about being saved by the bell. The warden and her lackeys gave the woman swift bows, clearly recognizing who she was and or the authority she represented, perhaps. I followed suit, as did Fia.
It seems we will have to continue this conversation later,
the warden said.
Or perhaps not at all. Farewell, Iron Bull.
She spun on her heels and dragged her three lackey nieces with her. It took all my wherewithal to not just toss my axe into the back of her head.
You must be the Lady Silverlight,
the woman Ling Wei said, giving Fia a separate bow.
You are as beautiful as the reports claim,
she then smiled at me.
I see why the Iron Bull has fought so hard to wed you.
Her statement took us both by surprise, and Fia blushed with a laugh.
Why, thank you. You are too kind.
The woman merely smiled, but with a confidence that betrayed both her station and stature. She was clearly one used to dealing with people of authority, and being aide to the princess, it made sense.
We must be away quickly, Master Iron Bull. I will leave you some privacy to have your final farewell with your betrothed.
With that, she left and headed for the waiting skiff. Wow, I said, looking back at the woman. I didn't expect an escort.
Max, what just happened?
Fia said.
I don't feel like I want you to go at all now.
I shook my head. Don't worry, scare tactics is all. But deep down, I didn't feel too comfortable either. I suspected the warden would have liked nothing more than to make my time away from home be hell by threatening Fia and even my clan, but surely she wouldn't oppose the authority of the princess to do so. Now, it had to be mind game she was playing at. If she were going to do anything for real, why tell us? I said. She's doing this to get inside my head, inside both of our heads, just to get a rise out of us.
Yes, but she has still made Wei Shen and her sisters vice wardens now,
Fia said.
Even that is an affront to my father's legacy. She's seeking to destroy him, and not to mention what the three of them might do to the sect.
That part I couldn't really argue with. Yeah, they're bound to wreak havoc back home. Shit. Wish I could get Jian Yi in on this.
Don't worry,
Fia said.
I'll tell her. The Terran sect is our sect, remember? I'm as much a part of it as I am the daughter of Master He Dong. I'll take care of both of our families while you are gone, Max. Don't worry about a thing.
A warmth filled my heart as her courage took center stage. I keep forgetting you're an absolute badass sometimes, I said, caressing her cheek with a smile. What the hell am I worried about? You can mop the floor with all three of those bird-brained bitches and then some. Fia let out another surprised laugh.
I swear, only you could come up with such colorful insults, Max.
I pulled her into an embrace and felt my own emotions slip as I realized this might be the last time I ever held her. I pushed it away and tried to focus on the positives. Fia was strong. She could take care of herself and our clan. And as much as I now wanted to stay behind to be assured of that, I'd have to trust her and have faith that she would be all right. I miss you already, I said, and heard her choke back some tears.
Don't take big risks, okay?
She said.
Just do enough to get back here alive. Promise me, please?
She pulled away and looked up at me with tearful eyes. No way would my path allow me to take the easy road with anything. But for the sake of easing her fears, I lied. No big risks. Got it.
I love you, Max,
she said, and then with a flick of her hand produced a silver quill in her palm.
Read it once you're on the transport, not before. Promise me.
I will, I said. And I promise I won't lose it this time either. She rolled her eyes and shook her head. What? Too soon to make a joke about it?
You're insufferable.
I let out a laugh. I love you, Fia. Thank you for everything. We kissed and embraced again, staying like that for what felt like an hour. All right, I said once we finally pulled apart. She smiled.
You'd better.
I couldn't keep my eyes off her as I walked away nearly backwards, waving as she blew me kisses from afar. When I finally did turn about, I found I had already reached the domed skiff with the small figure of Ling Wei standing outside.
All set?
She asked. I blew out a sigh, as I'll ever be, I guess.
Let us hurry on board then,
she said, walking ahead of me.
The trip into orbit will not take long, but I have much to discuss with you on the way up.
Fia watched the skiff grow smaller and smaller in the distance until it finally fell out of view, and with it her countenance fell as well.
There it was,
she thought. He was actually gone. A shudder of uneasiness ran through her as the reality hit, and the weight of the world fell on her shoulders. 3 long years, and who knew what else now lay ahead of her, thanks to her great aunt and her cousins, Wei Shen, Fei Shen, and Di Shen. But more than that, it was simply the thought of not having Max by her side that caused her soul to grieve. It was far too soon to start missing him, she knew, but she couldn't control her heart.
"I'll stay strong for you, Max,"
Fia whispered like a prayer.
"I'll protect our home. I'll make sure it's one you are proud to come back to. Just please come back."
She didn't have the courage to say the last part out loud. Deep down, she had faith that not even the fates of heaven could keep them apart. But nothing was promised. A pang of guilt touched her soul. She pushed it away. She would still do her part, and she would stay strong. But for them to be together again, it would be all up to Max now. And fate.
"Forgive me, Max,"
she said.
"I'm just not sure."
And with an uneasy heart, Fia turned and left the skyport.
Chapter 4. The trip into orbit was as fast as Ling Wei promised. Already I could see the brilliance of the Imperial City quickly disappearing below a blanket of low-lying clouds as the vessel soared skywards, its body maintaining completely horizontal as it rose vertically. Oddly, I didn't feel much G-force from the rapid ascent at all, the effect perhaps dampened somehow by the chi stones that simultaneously kept the ship afloat and gave us thrust. Perhaps they were akin to the aetherite crystal in the city, or even made of aetherite themselves. I held on to Fia's quill, feeling the string of characters inscribed on its surface. I was desperate to read them, but I would respect her wishes and read them only when on the transport. Not to mention that it felt like she had written more than just a couple of words this time, the characters feeling numerous and smaller than usual. I tucked the quill away and treated it as a surprise to be savored for later. I watched the city continue to grow smaller, my eyes straining to somehow still see Fia on deck waving to me. When the city finally fell out of view, my mindset shifted. It was just me now. My family and friends were far below and counting on my return, and I would have to put on my game face the entire time to survive. I treated it like a match in the arena in my mind. Earth was the locker room, and I was now on my way to the ring. I didn't know what challenges awaited me there, but like any match, there was no prize for losing. I had to win no matter what.
"Would you not feel more comfortable sitting?"
Ling Wei said. It was only then that I realized that I'd been standing the entire time in a skiff full of plush couches. I took a seat opposite Ling Wei, and she almost ceremoniously presented me with an envelope adorned with the royal seal.
"A personal message from Her Majesty,"
Ling Wei said. I raised a brow. Should I read it?
"You may,"
Ling Wei said.
"But it is perhaps best if we spoke first. Its content may have far more relevance then."
My curiosity was piqued at that. "Yeah, you said you had much to discuss, right?"
"Indeed I do, Master Iron Bull. How familiar are you with the tradition of sending tributes to the Legionnaire Academy?"
I shrugged. "I know it's to battle the scourge of the cursed stars, right?"
"Oh, yes,"
she said.
"That too, of course."
That too? What the hell did she mean? She must have caught the confused look on my face because she instantly smiled.
"I apologize. I speak more to the political nature of the tributes. It is a tradition millennia old, and yes, its original purpose was to seek able-bodied cultivators to push back against the expanse of the cursed stars. But in the modern era, this need has waned somewhat. The issue of tributes has far more economic and political significance now."
"Oh," I said, waiting for more. I honestly couldn't care about the politics other than gaining my diamond bracket title, but it had to be important to the princess for making the decision to send me. So what's the significance?
The lower courts of the Empire are comprised of the lesser houses that rule the core worlds,
she said.
When the great Soul Emperor expanded his domain, new planets came under the rule of the Yi Dynasty, and the native inhabitants were offered as tributes to the Academy to train and defend the borders of the core worlds from the scourge of the cursed stars. In return for this tribute, the Emperor offered favor from the core worlds to help solidify the status of the fledgling colonies. While thousands of years have passed, and those newly colonized worlds have now advanced to the same level as the core worlds themselves, your world is still at that same fledgling state. Older colonies are now nearly exempt from sending tributes. For them, sending a tribute is more a ceremonial token, now that they have evolved to the point of their native inhabitants being able to reach lesser deity realm cultivation levels, and even beyond, if they are so lucky or talented to transition to the higher planes.
Lesser deity realm? You mean they send demigods to this academy? She chuckled.
Heavens, no. Such would be a waste of talent and ability. The loss of even a lesser deity realm cultivator is not unheard of on the Hell Worlds. There are forces there that suppress one's chi and can make strength almost insignificant.
She had to be talking about Dark Frenzy, the true essence of that space god Izolix. And if the concentrations produced by the cursed stars was enough to affect even normal cultivators, then who knew what it would do to me? But I at least had a defense now in my soul shield technique. That thought made me eager to go on my first tour and test it out. Who knows, I thought. Perhaps I could thrive on these hell worlds instead of merely survive. Images of when I traveled to that alternate dimension on the surface of the moon returned to my mind. Those giant demon hordes and the chained gate crystals that seemed to connect the moon to other worlds, and not to mention the giant blue bitch who seemed to control them all. Izandra, the Great Chain Maiden, or some shit. There were great mysteries to be discovered on these hell worlds, but perhaps they were only important or even accessible to a berserker like me. One more reason to succeed at the academy and head out on my first tour. If I was able to destroy the crystal that linked that gate to the second base from the moon to the earth, then perhaps I could somehow find the crystal that had spawned that massive gate on the moon as well. Maybe even destroy it if I could. Or at least figure out how all that crap was connected anyway. Then there was the connection between the frenzied flame and the stars themselves. I still didn't know.
Master Ironbull?
I suddenly realized I'd been staring off into space, consumed of my own thoughts. Sorry, I said. A lot on my mind, I guess. You were saying... She smiled.
Understandable. I was saying that numbers matter more than strength when it comes to fighting on the Hell Worlds. Tours are sent in waves, with only a short time spent within each. It's why gaining tributes from the newer colonies are still necessary.
It sounded more like they needed to send the less valuable cannon fodder to me, but I wasn't complaining. Messed up system or not, it was still my ticket to gaining further insight into the unknown, not to mention gaining the Imperial status I needed to stand up to the Warden and defend my people back home. Back home, I thought with a chuckle. I was a million miles away already in my mind. I see, I said. So what favors do we get as a planet for me being a tribute?
I'm glad you asked,
she said, smiling again.
As a first tribute, you will gain the princess much honor in the eyes of her peers in the lower courts of the core worlds. But if you are successful, it would be even more so.
So me surviving is a big deal. Good to know. I'll do my best.
There is a bit more,
she said, leaning closer.
The gaining of status through the tributes is one still utilized by the core worlds, although mostly ceremonial, as I said, but some are still sent.
I thought you said they were too important a risk like that.
Not to fight on the Hell Worlds, but there are some royal houses that require such a system to... qualify their family members for certain martial brackets in short order. Not unlike the opportunity the princess has made for you in that regard.
I chuckled. Yeah, I get it.
Further, though, it would be quite the loss of face for one of the core world families to have their tribute fail at the academy. Thus, there are certain provisions that can be made to ensure one's success.
What the hell is she talking about? You mean, like, cheating? She chuckled.
Such a word would cause much offense, Master Iron Bull. There are simply different levels of status within the world of tributes. The core worlds have a far different experience than those from newly seeded colonies like yourselves.
Newly seeded? More like newly conquered, I thought. But I wasn't going to cause a stink. The woman Ling Wei seemed nice enough thus far, and she was just the messenger after all.
The princess has made such provisions to see that you too may be included in the numbers amongst the core world tributes,
Ling Wei said, nodding to the envelope in my hand.
If you'll accept the requirements, of course.
What requirements?
It would be too obvious to request such favor directly,
she said,
especially for a new tribute such as yourself. But if you were to be identified as a potential future Lord Consort, then we believe arrangements could perhaps be made.
Potential future Lord Consort? I scoffed at the title. What the hell is that?
It's nothing, really,
she said.
A fanciful designation that merely recognizes your potential to perhaps one day marry into the royal family.
What the hell? Maybe you haven't heard, but I'm kind of engaged. She bowed her head slightly.
Of course, Master Iron Bull. This is meant as no disrespect to your impending union. It is merely recognition of your potential to